on a snowy night like tonight. I think a weekend coming up ahead of us that has a lot of snow in the forecast. It's a good time to just settle in and maybe watch something on, you know, live. Maybe you're going to stream. I have hotkeys on. All right, hold on a second. How's that? It's a good time to just settle in with a series on maybe Netflix or Amazon, or a series that maybe you haven't had a chance to catch because, you know, you've been busy, but now you're going to be on lockdown, maybe, you know, with all the cold weather. You don't want to go outside and shovel, you know, settle in with a fun show. And we have on the line with us our co-creators of Binge and Uncork. We have Susan Dannenberger, the winemaker from Dannenberger Family Vineyards, and Elliot Serrano, who is, again, the co-creator of Binge and Uncork. Susan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. I feel so bad for you guys because you're in the snow and I'm not.
Wait a minute. There's no snow in New Berlin?
No, we were supposed to, and I was supposed to stay up there, and I didn't go because I thought I was going to be miserable, and it's nicer down here. I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm glad that you avoided it completely. Elliot, have you been out shoveling the last couple of days, at least the last 24 hours?
No, I've actually been sick, so I've been staying in. But somebody on my block took their snowblower and just went down the block and cleared the sidewalk, so I'm fine.
Those are the best people. That's what Mary Schmee calls the snow angels. So thank you to anybody who has a snowblower and just takes care of everybody on the block. You are good people, and good things will happen to you. I don't know what it is, but hopefully it's something good. We've been talking over the last couple months about some of the series on Netflix and Amazon. We've had Susan pair wines with series like Orange is the New Black, The Crown, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and I've consumed the series Grace and Frankie pretty much in a few days. And now, Elliot, I assigned this to you as well, and I know you've been kind of tied up. Did you have a chance to watch at least the pilot episode?
No, I know. You asked me to watch at least that, and I'm totally sold on the idea of Martin Sheen kind of like being in a relationship, but
in a relationship, it's Jeb Bartlett and Jack McKay as lovers, and how much better does it get than that?
Well, that I don't know. I don't know if my brain was ready to be bent that way, but I'm looking forward to it for sure.
All right, Susan. So, did you? How much of the series did you get into?
Well, I had seen the first series before, and so this time I was catching up, you know, to date. So I got all of it done. Actually, I couldn't stop. It was just awesome. Time would fly by, and I'm just laughing hysterically. I couldn't stop.
Well, and here's the thing, too. It is a really funny series, but there are things that kind of sink a little bit heavily, I think, for me, in the sense that, you know, it makes getting older seem like, okay, it's not the worst thing in the world, but also some of the things that they are faced with kind of are jarring, too. It sort of makes me think, okay, if I plan for what I want to do in the next 20 years, the next 30 years, what's that going to look like physically and financially? That kind of comes up for me once in a while. Does that happen to you when you're watching that show?
Oh, yes. I mean, they dealt with a lot of big topics, but it didn't feel so ominous. I mean,
right.
They're talking about age. They're talking about, you know, continuing your sexuality.
Yes.
Just all kinds of things that you don't even think about. And then when you do, it's really scary. And this way, it was almost like tackled in a kind of less painful way. You know, there's a lot of the LGBT thing going on and family dynamics. And it was just, it was fun.
It is. It's a very fun series. For those who aren't familiar with the series, Grace and Frankie, it stars Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. They're friends, but mostly because their husbands are friends and co-workers. Their husbands are partners in a law firm. And the women could not be more different. Jane Fonda is a successful businesswoman who created her own company. She likes her martinis. She likes to always be pulled together fashionably and it always looks stunning. Lily Tomlin plays an artist who makes her own bongs and is often high and has a, you know, different, her own set of rules in life and is charming. And they're both charming in so many ways. And I don't think I'm giving anything away because it's the plot of the series. Their husbands invite them out for dinner and inform them that they have been lovers for 20 years and they are leaving their wives. And so the second season deals with a lot more of, you know, the women trying even more aggressively to get on with their lives, whether it's romantically, professionally, living with each other, kind of finding that they, you know, need each other more than they realized. And, so Susan, what wine did you pair with the second season of Grace and Frankie?
So I've been working on a couple of my rosés to get ready for the season. So I had a little bit of rosé all day, rosé all year long going on in my brain. And I still had a few bottles of last year's. It was called Siren. And to me, it was perfect because yes. It was about these women who are living on the beach, you know, for work and for, 'cause that's the only place they have to live. But also it's like a strong woman. You know, they had left each other and they came back to each other, the call of the siren, and then just feeling of like girl power and rosés and just that whole femininity thing going on. It drew me in. I had to have a rosé. That's all I could think about was the rosé.
I think that sounds perfect. And Elliot, when you get a chance to watch this again, as great as Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin are, the charm of Sam Waterston and Martin Sheen being lovers and in the most adorable way sometimes, in the most real way. Susan, don't you think the way that they bicker is just, you're like, oh, it's just they do it so wonderfully.
No, it was really a couple. They really did feel like a real couple. It wasn't like this theater acting. It felt like they were really a couple, and they had, you know, their opposites like any other family would have, and it was a very good portrayal.
I know Elliot, what have you been watching on Netflix, Elliot?
I remember watching a few things, although wait real quick, because back to the rosé with Grace and Frankie, because you said, see, here's the thing that's kind of like intriguing me. So Patty says there are all these different elements in the show. You know, Jane Fonda's very held together. She likes her I'm assuming her martinis. Lily Tomlin likes, you know, the other like alternative type deals, right?
Right.
And correct me if I heard you wrong. I heard you saying you were drinking the rosé to prepare for the show. So were you like, were you doing the rosé before watching it, through watching it, after watching it? You know, I'm like, you know,
yes. I've been finishing up my rosés during the winter. Winemakers work on their rosés to release in the summer. So I've been doing a lot of taste testing, finding some of the rosés. And so I've been in just a, you know, kick. I know it's opposite of everybody else in the world. I've been on a rosé kick lately because it's all I'm tasting. And it felt, you know, just going from my laboratory into my house, it kind of carried on with the, oh, I need a rosé with this.
My other thing too is, because I've had lots of folks ask me about this bit, and you know, I will say, no, seriously, the wine is affected by the show. So what, can you like describe kind of how it actually affects the rosé is affected by the show, or vice versa?
Yeah, so imagine you're watching this fun women empowerment, beach, warm weather, trying to solve family problems, but in a lighthearted way. And try to imagine watching that show with a really big, heavy cab. It just doesn't work.
That's a good point.
The cab would feel big and heavy, and the show would suddenly not feel as light. And the message wouldn't come through as clearly. And a rosé has that brightness and that broodiness, and also the clarity to kind of be able to handle these, you know, they're big life problems, but you don't want to take them too seriously at that moment. So the rosé is perfect for that. It's kind of like a serious wine in a light format.
It makes complete sense to me. It's getting a little bit late, and I want to make sure you both get your rest. And I know, Susan, you've had a busy time with the wine week at the wine. Oh, was it event in Utica? Was it a wine event?
So this Tuesday, we Bicentennial of Illinois did a kickoff to start the year, and we did wine pouring down here in Springfield. And then tomorrow is the Winter Wine Walk in Utica in the snow.
There you go.
It will be fun.
Well, I have something easier for you because I know you've been busy and a lot going on. I thought that it might be nice to slow it down a little bit because, you know, Netflix carries a lot of specials from comedians. And I want to share a comedian that's my son's favorite with you. I don't know if you had a chance to catch any of the comedian specials, but my assignment for you is Brian Regan's Netflix comedy special. Brian Regan has a one out called, I think it's called Flamethrowers and Nunchucks, if I'm not mistaken.
What about you, Elliot? Are you going to watch it?
No, I'll definitely watch it. Brian Regan is a comedian I've been wanting to get into too. I know Griffin loves him, so yeah, and that should be an easy one for me. Although, again, flamethrowers and nunchucks.
Yes.
Does that suggest a Sauvignon Blanc? I don't know.
You'll have to see. See, and I think your husband will be pleased too, because a lot of times we give you these assignments, and it's like 20 hours of binge watching. So this is an hour and 9 minutes. I'm just saying we're going a little bit easier on you, but you know, the thing is, after you watch one of his specials, you can always go down the rabbit hole of finding other Brian Regan specials and learn more about him. He practiced a lot of this material, worked on it when he was here at the Chicago Theater. So Griffin and I had the chance to see it live. I think that you'll enjoy that.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So there you go.
Excited.
And do you have any events coming up at the Dannenberger Family Vineyards that people should know about?
Well, you know, it's the month of love, so there's all kinds of tasty treats here. And we just did a pairing dinner, and there's more to come this whole month. I can't wait. Happy Valentine's to both of you.
Yeah. Happy Valentine's to you. I know. We have to find out next week what the day is today. Oh, Valentine's Day is coming up next Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes. And then next Sunday, a week from Sunday, is National Drink Wine Day. So be prepared.
Oh, that's a lot coming up. Everyone go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com to find out more about the events coming up, and as well as the musicians who will be performing every Tuesday. Is it every Tuesday at the Vineyard?
Oh, Saturday.
Every Saturday. Sorry, the open mic is, when it comes back, that's what's on Tuesdays, right?
That will be on Tuesday. I miss those, yes.
Yes, excellent. Well, Susan, have a great week. We'll catch up with you, and have happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks.
The month of love. Elliot, get some rest. and then track
get
down...
Get some rest.
Yes,
stay warm.
And then track down your neighbor who took care of your sidewalk, will you?
I will. Miss you guys.
Miss you too.
Bye, miss
Bye.
You.
Bye-bye. More after this on 720 Bye-bye. WGN. With everything that happens in politics and the news around the world, it seems like it's hard to keep track of what's going on. Honestly, I wake up every single day and I look at my phone and I go, what fresh hell is this? Joining me in studio to talk about the crazy news of the week and what's happening in politics, we have the executive director of Social Change. Do I have it on again? Should I just turn that off? All right. I didn't. Curtis is producing tonight. He is filling in for Michael Heidemann. Curtis, introduce yourself to the audience. Where are you from, my friend?
Hello. I am from the Northwest suburbs, the Crystal Lake area. Yes.
The Rouse Center is one of my favorite performance spaces.
Yes.
And, not just in the Chicagoland area.
Bob Saget's actually coming, I think, in the next few days or weeks or something like that.
That's right.
Center. So, yes, a lot of fun times out in Crystal Lake. But, yes, I'm relatively new.
Relatively new?
Yeah, I've been here for about 3 months or so.
Okay.
So,
what do you think so far?
Fun. A lot of fun.
Who scares you the most?
Probably Rob Martier.
Oh!
I'm kidding, Rob.
Good choice.
Watch him come fly across the newsroom. Hey, I heard that. Well, stay away from that Roger Badish, too. He's a bad influence.
I've heard things about Roger, too.
A really bad influence. So I wanted to... Curtis, on Friday nights, it's the only time of the week that we really focus on politics. We try to avoid it the rest of the time, because otherwise I think our heads would explode.
I think a lot of people's heads would explode at some point in time.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Only so much it can take. And that's why I sit down with some folks who come from different points of view. We have Todd Belcour. He is the executive director of Social Change. We have Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, regular contributor to the Justin Kaufman show. I want to know how that went. I didn't get a chance to hear you on Monday with Roebling. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. We have with us Eric Elk. He is the president and CEO of Fulcrum Illinois. And, you know what? Before we go into politics and everything else, else. Did anyone get a chance to watch the opening ceremonies for the Olympics tonight, which I thought was beautiful? Did you watch it, Eric?
It looked really cold.
It's the Winter Olympics, my friend.
But it looked like
really cold.
So, like, freezing temperatures. Oh. I mean,
yeah, even for the Winter Olympics, it's supposed to be really cold, like the coldest Winter Olympics in decades.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it's the Winter Olympics.
But it's cold.
You show your mettle. That's how you get things done. Todd, did you watch?
No, but I would be surprised if people complain about the weather for the Winter Olympics.
It was
In the snow.
Well, I thought it was interesting that that obviously it's being held in South Korea, and Kim Jong Un's sister was there, which was apparently a big moment for every. Well, not apparently, it is a big moment that they're sending sort of this ambassador for the country.
And
to,
she was seated right behind Mike Pence.
No.
Yes.
Interesting. And he's come under a little bit of scrutiny this week because there's a figure skater who said that he did not want to meet with Mike Pence because of his anti-homosexual stance. And Mike Pence is like, I just want everyone to win. This isn't about everything. But then this writer for Fox News, did you guys hear about this this letter? I don't know how this isn't getting more coverage. Do you know about this, Eric? From Fox News. Okay, I got to find the letter. He wrote that the Olympics is just becoming gayer and darker.
Huh. So ooh.
More after this on 720 WGN.
What a segue.
Tonight, many people watch the opening ceremonies for the Olympics. Ahead of that, apparently vice president, executive editor of Fox News, John Moody, posted an op-ed piece on the Fox News site in which he said, since 1894, unless it's changed overnight, the motto of the Olympics has been faster, higher, stronger. It appears the U.S. Olympic Committee would like to change that to darker, gayer, different. And I didn't realize that people weren't aware of this. John Williams told me about this in passing in the hallway, and he's been trying to find the full letter. Nobody seems to be able to find it. Dave, you seem stunned. It doesn't get any better?
I am.
Any difference?
Every day something happens that makes you go, yeah, this isn't normal. Yeah, this was not okay prior to Trump, to the age of Trump. This op-ed would never have been written prior to Donald Trump. There's a license to say things that people like thought in their dirtiest, darkest moments. And now they're just like, yeah, we're going to put it out there as an op-ed of Fox News from the executive editor,
right.
Executive vice president of Fox News. Thank you for ripping off the mask and showing us what we've always known.
I don't think that it's surprising. I guess that's why I didn't. I thought you guys
published.
Knew. Huh?
I think it's surprising insofar that not only was it said, but it was published.
Right.
So that's like so many other steps beyond just thinking or maybe saying it in a private conversation.
Well, when Mitt Romney and President Obama were debating, and Ann Coulter was on many shows, including Fox News, she thanked Mitt Romney for being nice to the retard. And there was a wonderful letter written by a young man who has Down syndrome explaining why it's a hateful word. And she over and over and over again was talking on these panels saying, no one's offended by it. They don't even know. Stop saying it's offensive. And that was all on Fox. So I do think that that's been, I mean, obviously she's not the VP at Fox News, but it's something, it's a kind of voice that Fox has been proud of and had no problem putting it out there, embracing it, supporting it by giving it air. So I don't see how this is supporting.
That's a good point. Ann Coulter has been out there for a long time saying crazy stuff like this. But right. She was a rare voice. Now this is there's a difference between Ann Coulter
right.
and the executive editor of Fox News.
But she was a reflection of what was already really rampant there, I think.
Oh, of course.
And so to me, I'm like, oh, no, right. What you're saying is it wouldn't have been given the light of day. It wouldn't have been as emboldened. What do you think, Eric?
As they used to say, that we just don't talk about that in polite company.
Bless your heart. Eric? How you doing, Eric?
Well, first of all, I have an issue with Coulter. I mean, I think she's so far out there. I think the way to deal with her is just to not give it any oxygen. because I think she almost feeds off of that. I mean, she welcomes the fight, almost like certain folks who...
Like Jeannie Ives. I think Jeannie Ives, in the same way, says and does things. She has the same response to that commercial where she's like, oh, it's not offensive. Stop saying it's offensive. She has the same tone as Ann Coulter does, and she's running for governor of Illinois and gaining momentum. So it's not like we can't give someone like that air, because Jeannie Ives is buying air.
Which is scary if what you think happens.
I think that she's got a very solid chance of winning, and I won't go into any details as to why I believe that, because I don't want to give her campaign any ideas. I know what I would do to have her win, and I think that she beats Rauner in the primaries. I do.
Yeah, Patty and
I disagree.
We disagree.
Okay. Yeah. Did you think Trump was going to win?
Oh,
that's
did you there.
Actually?
Did
I think Trump was going to win the primary starting around December?
Right, the primary is different. Right, okay.
The general, no, and he did lose the popular vote, so I was right. unfortunately, yeah,
that's going to be the political Trump card for the rest of history,
so to speak.
Anytime someone has something that sounds like it's impossible, like, did you think Trump was going to win?
Well, because the thing about any election is, do you stir people up and get them out for a primary, especially only 16% of the registered voters in Illinois showed up to that primary, and basically Rauner won the primary with about 5% of registered voters in the state of Illinois. That's not a big number.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And look, Governor Rauner's support is soft because he has been viewed as both a traitor to conservatives, but also wildly ineffective. I mean, it's not really normal for a governor to go around saying he's not in charge.
And she's a politician.
She has been engaging in the kind of trolling for bottom feeders that one would expect to see out of a Dan Prof supported candidate.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the tweet that was on her page or she whatever.
Teachers are the least courageous group of people I know.
No, but the other guy went out talking about how he just gave $1,000 to her campaign, and when you looked at his Twitter feed, the picture was of him giving a salute.
Yeah.
Oh, the Nazi guy.
Well, there was. Yeah. Well, she was supposed to have a fundraiser where a guy was going to give the keynote address, and he, on his website, defines himself as a scientific racist, right? That there's scientific basis in the fact that whites are superior to blacks. And she said, oh, we didn't know. Her whole campaign, her staffers were like, oh, we didn't know. Took me 20 seconds to Google and find that.
Yes, it's called the Google.
There's no reason not to know.
Yeah. But again, are you
constantly shaking your head for the last 2 years?
You're putting him in a tough spot today.
I just don't even know what to make of this. I mean, I think Dave had a this was a long week, and it started out on a high note for Dave.
It did.
I see what you're doing. You're deflecting sounds toward like the Democrats. All right, let's take a break.
No. Actually, I wasn't. It was a great city club event.
Let's talk about a kerfuffle. Kerfuffle's a fun word.
I like the word kerfuffle.
I think more people need to say the word kerfuffle because it just sounds fun and disruptive.
If I said it really fast and many times really fast, I'd say something bad.
All right, don't do that. More after this. By the way, your entire news hour is sponsored by Inspire. More in a moment. By the way, this is your conversation. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. You can text us at the same number, 312-981-7200. If you want to tweet at me, it's at Patty Vasquez, CHI. That's Patty with an I. A week and a half ago, the Chicago Tribune editorial board sat down with Governor Rauner and Representative Jeannie Ives to talk to the gubernatorial candidates in the primary, the Republican gubernatorial candidates, about their philosophy, about their experience, about what they planned for the state of Illinois. And Jeannie Ives came out the clear winner, and then days later dropped a commercial that sent shockwaves across the state of Illinois, actually became a national news story. And then she spoke to the City Club of Chicago, and during her speech, she was asked about her ad and the portrayal of a transgender individual, and she said, well, that's what they look like. And somebody in the room went, no, it's not. I'm sorry. How did it sound? How did you say it?
So it's a little more than that. So,
okay.
I inadvertently made news. There was no plan to do this on Monday.
That's Dave Lundy, by the way.
Yes, this is Dave Lundy. So there was no plan to do this. I attended her speech, and frankly, right up until she became a culture warrior, I'm going, yeah, I'm agreeing with her. She's talking about she's attacking Rauner for the Exelon bailout, which, of course, I fought for 2.5 years and Eric supported. She was going on about the pensions, and she was going on about all kinds of stuff. And I'm going like, wow, if she does this, she actually will impress people and have a real shot. And then she went into culture warrior mode.
What did she launch into aside from?
She started talking about the commercial broadly. She was asked about the commercial, and it wasn't just the transgender; it was the woman in the pink hat,
the kitty hat,
saying that, you know, I thank you for paying for my abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy and the rest of it. And then the transgender, supposedly the transgender person who wasn't a transgender person, it was a man in a dress, like
it was an actor, right?
Like Corporal Klinger, right? With the 5 o'clock shadow and a deep voice. And so she said, and I'll quote it exactly because Eric Zorn was kind enough to provide a transcript. She went through each of the individual characters and said they're an accurate visual representation of the policy.
Okay.
It was a policy ad. And then she got to the transgender person and she said, I want to know why people are so offended by it. What's offensive about the ad? The transgender man, that's exactly what a typical transgender man looks like. And as soon as she said that, I just was filled with rage. I was filled with rage at her sanctimony, at her lying, at her pretending she didn't know what she was doing. And I frankly was in the front row, and I shouted out, no, it's not. And she looked back at me and she said, yes, sir, that's what they look like when they come into my office. And I've had them come into my office. And I responded to her. I said, you asked what was so offensive about that. That's what's offensive.
Oh, wow. So you went on that
This it was a kerfuffle. It was a genuine kerfuffle.
Oh, so you had a back and forth.
Oh, yeah. No, there was back and forth. And then after the show,
well, that's what she's doing. She's putting on a show.
Yeah. She had a big gaggle. She had a news conference there afterwards. And then I actually wound up with a gaggle of TV and reporters around me saying, why did you do that?
And you couldn't help yourself?
I said, honestly, I've been going to City Club for 30 years. I've been to hundreds of City Club events. I've never done anything like that. It's not that I'm shy at City Club. I'll, you know, give my question or whatever. And if there's a friendly person, I might have a little back and forth. But that's friendly.
Right.
I never interrupted a speaker. And I was really genuinely offended by what she did and what she was trying to do in pretending that she didn't know it was offensive.
Do you think she's pretending, Eric?
That's what she did at the City Club.
Pretending that she did. No, I think that there's this aggression of, oh, you're offended, sort of like going, pushing back and almost leaning into it and say, oh, are you offended?
Oh, I was told I was described afterwards as hysterical.
Oh,
by who?
See?
By Jeannie Ives and by Dan Proft.
Dave always strikes me as hysterical.
Yeah, I've heard.
So, did he produce the ad?
Of course he did. He wouldn't acknowledge it, but he basically implied repeatedly that he had done so.
And who's funding it?
It's Dick Uihlein, the same Dick Uihlein who funded Roy Moore, some Roy Moore ads.
The pedophile?
Yes, that would be the guy.
Wow.
Yeah. $2.5 million she's put in.
That's the full title. That's a full title of
pedophile Roy
disclosure.
Moore. Roy Moore, pedophile.
It's on
his business card now.
I have told this story, and Todd hates that I tell this story every single time because I believe I was being hazed when I first went down to Springfield to cover the budget crisis and cuts. And I really think that someone, because I was trying to figure out different legislators to introduce myself to and say, hey, I'm from WGN Radio, want to get your thoughts on what's going on and the cuts to many programs that are important to people in the state of Illinois. And honestly, someone said, you should really talk to Jeannie Ives. And I was making a beeline right to her. I don't know what motivated Todd Belcourt to just I know I change it every time, but seriously, like you, I was trying to get my courage up. Here was somebody I didn't know. I was kind of my first time into the adventure of talking to legislators that I didn't know. I had a lot of adrenaline going, and this arm just like grabs me across, like almost clothesline me. Goes, you don't want to talk to her.
Did you every do that? Time she describes a story, it becomes a more aggressive encounter in terms of my effort to prevent her from talking to Giuliani.
Well, what you told me was she graduated from West Point and made cuts to veterans programs. And that was the gist of, like, here's who she is. This is just it was a very quick one. I'm like, okay, got it. Got it. But I have watched her for 3 years, get up and say the most hellacious things, you know, getting up and saying we shouldn't provide funding for childcare because we don't even know who these babies' daddies are, saying that teachers are the least courageous group that we know. I mean,
and that's nothing compared to what she says about gays and lesbians.
But are they gayer and darker?
Gayer and darker, right? And different.
By the way, for those of you just tuning in, that was the VP at Fox who wrote an op-ed piece on their website and said that the Olympics are no longer stronger, higher, faster, but gayer, darker, different. So I really want to...
So they can't compete. You're not going to get the same
things.
I know.
And they fit so well together.
That's how I did it all. It's all circular. It's all.
It's like
a snake
rings.
Eating itself. It is like a snake. I like what you did there.
Nice.
I like what you did there.
Well played, sir.
So I do think that Jeannie Ives, because of that op-ed piece, I think that she wins the primary.
Never.
Well, you do whatever you.
Eric, the Republican, says never.
Never.
No, I don't think she does, and I just think it's wrong. She's mocking different folks in that ad. It's. You can't have that.
Eric, it's just like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
No.
That's their claim from the campaign.
So here's my view of this. And I think that she does. First of all, the ad was successful in generating attention.
Tons of earned media.
Tons of earned media. The ad was successful in making people go, oh, Jeannie Ives. The ad was certainly successful in motivating the bottom feeding trolls that Dan Proft lives off of and profits off of. And Dan, if you're listening, I'll say that to your face any day of the week. The thing is, for everybody that is motivated and interested by that ad and who maybe gets excited by that ad, you're alienating three moderates in the suburbs. You're alienating the people that you need to win in order to get over 50%.
Okay, I have to go to a break. Let's talk about we'll talk more about the primary when we come back and the other candidates and the news that they've made, whether, you know, by design, by default, or by released FBI tapes. More for this on 720 WGN.
Crazy week all the way around.
Just a little bit. Time now for our news. By the way, we do encourage you to call us. It's your conversation. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call or text us. 312-981-7200. What did you think about Jeannie Ives' ad? Is it effective? Do you agree with me? Do you think that Jeannie Ives not only stands a really good chance of winning the primary, but Eric, I know, but when we come back, I think she's gonna win it. I'm just saying, it's not my fault Trump won. I just said for the whole year and a half leading up to the election, I knew that Trump would win. I feel as confident about the primary. Roger, what do you think? Do you have any thoughts on this?
Give me the question again. Which race are we talking about?
The governor's race, the primary, Jeannie Ives.
I think our current governor is without a paddle.
Yep.
And
up what kind of creek?
You pick it. Polluted, polluted, non-polluted, short.
It's a poop creek.
You know, short pier, whatever. As far as the Democratic side, I see where it's going right now with the latest poll results, and I'm very interested.
Well, the undecided is big. I mean, it's 27%.
Right. And I think that with that in the mix, I'm going to give the Illinois voters more credit than I probably should. But I have faith in humanity, often to my own detriment. And
are you running for office?
No, I have held office in the past.
He doesn't sound particularly optimistic.
I think that there is someone in the pack on the Democratic side who, when the undecideds finally start deciding, I think you're going to see a change. So. That's
the definitive answer from Roger Battis. Let's go to the news. Here with everything you need to know is Roger Battis. you're watching television at all, you know that the primary race for governor of Illinois has heated up following some numbers that changed significantly as to who might be poised to take over the lead in the Democrats column. J.B. Pritzker has been... Kennedy was in the lead for a while. David Pritzker took over the lead. And now it sounds as though Senator Biss is close on the heels of Pritzker. Dave, it depends on which. You're going to tell me what depends on which.
He got really jumpy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's twitching. He's like,
I'm happy to talk about. I'm happy to talk about what happened this week, and we can talk about the impacts of what happened this week.
Yeah, I don't care if you're happy or not. We're going to talk about it anyway.
But I just have to say something. That poll that was released. It's Rod McCullough. Rod McCullough is a joke of a pollster.
Right.
He is not a real pollster. So,
is he in his basement with a keyboard just making stuff up?
And I'm sorry. And I'm expressing,
said yes,
I'm expressing my opinions, but I call him the Spice Girls of pollsters. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. And here's a poll.
Okay.
That says it.
All right. Interesting.
So with respect. And he's you like that?
How that played in real life?
You like that?
he's practiced that.
And he's a Republican pollster who spontaneously decided to do a Democratic poll at a key moment and just suddenly put it out there. So, yes, I don't actually believe those numbers.
So, but it seems as though somebody's taking it seriously, or at least the possibility of it, because...
Daniel's gaining. There's no question about it.
No, but the attack ads.
Against Daniel, of course.
Yeah, I was standing in the green room, and there were four during a news break on WGN television. I was like, wow.
That's rule one of politics. You do not allow your opponent to define themselves. You define them for you. I mean, you just don't. I mean, JB has, and for 114th time, he is a friend. His business firms are client. I do not have anything to do with the campaign. I am not speaking as a representative of JB in any way.
I do like these disclaimers. Do you have any disclaimers, Eric?
I am giving my personal opinion as a political analyst. But just look. You look at what happened with Hillary and Bernie. Hillary decided she wasn't going to try to define Bernie because, Bernie's not going to be a problem. We're just going to let him do his thing. And we saw what happened. You don't let your opponent define themselves in a clean way forever. You have to do it. You have to just, you know, to do that. So Daniel, as you know, because you and I, it was actually in this studio. It wasn't in this studio. It was in the downstairs studio.
Yes.
almost a year ago when Daniel was on the show and I was on the show, and he sat there and he started talking about the problem we have in Illinois is the billionaires and the millionaires and the tax codes written by billionaires for billionaires. And I'm looking at this guy going, who are you and what have you done with Daniel Biss? Because this is not the guy.
I had heard him. For 3 years, I'd heard him talking about how the system isn't fair. I mean, that he wanted a progressive tax in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, no. Progressive tax is a different question.
Right.
But
he has said that the game is rigged for the rich against the working class and the poor.
Sure. Okay. Well, then maybe he's been planning to do it longer than we know of, because back in 2012 and 2013, when he was the champion of pension reform and when he was the guy who was voting with Republicans to garner student loan wages.
Wow. How did the attack ad just come right out of the nowhere?
Like
exactly
more.
The link.
I can watch television.
Did you write the attack ad?
No.
Wait a minute.
I didn't even know about that.
I thought
it had to be wrong. I'm like, why would a Democrat do that?
I was kind of
stunned by that.
Todd, you've watched Senator Biss work for the last several years and collaborated with him on several things.
He's an absolutely tireless advocate for the everyday person. So I find his rhetoric relating to billionaires to be consistent with his general positions. But I think at the end of the day, as what Lundy is really alluding to, anytime you have someone who's starting to really gain momentum, it's generally political expedient to just have the ads come and try to knock them back down.
Is it when they're gaining momentum or when they're on tape, hearing someone's on tape saying things that are hard to hear? I mean, and I will preface this about the Pritzker audio. I think that any one of us could say something that we regret or we know could ruin our careers if it was taken out of context, not in the conversation. But this specifically, I think there's an article about how it's, talking behind someone's back, that you're nice to them in their face, you say everything that is expected or hoped for or make them happy, and then but in the dark of night or on a conversation with Governor Blagojevich, you say things like, Jesse White would be the least offensive African American. And believe me, Todd and I talked about this before the show. There are things that you say to talk about the strategy. How do we go after certain populations and demographics for votes? I mean, we have these frank conversations. How do you get the Latino vote? How do you get the Black vote? How do you get the rural vote, the conservative vote, the religious, faction of any political party, but it's hard on the ears. And I think that and then when he went to that, there's video on Facebook of a group of pastors having Todd, tell us a little bit about that meeting, because I think he was there to address a group, and the guy who does the Facebook Live video talks about, I'm going to go in, I want to see what Pritzker has to say, and it got a little bit weird.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to give the primer on this, but certainly there's a conversation shortly after the kerfuffle, in this case, as relates to JB.
There you go. He gets to be a kerfuffler, too.
Yeah.
There you go.
The kerfuffle love goes to everyone here. And he wanted to make sure he was making overtures to apologize to the leaders in the Black community, in this particular case, pastors. And there's other people who are pastors who weren't invited or weren't made aware of it, however that plays out. And they still wanted to come, as they later became aware. So they Facebook Lived it, and their presence created just agitation just by virtue of their being present,
right,
based on their track record of being activists and being out and loud in the community. So in the effort to quiet them, but also do whatever JB needed to make sure he had the space to have the pastor's attention, it got a little loud.
Yeah, and then they tried to diffuse it. Right?
That's right. And then JB, there's quite a few ways to approach it. He could have stuck around and said, "Let's hear the man's concern. Let's talk about it." Everyone piped down, but he was advised to leave by some of the people in the room, so he left. And there's a lot of different thoughts on whether or not that was an appropriate response given all the circumstances.
But are you aware of what happened about 5 minutes later?
Did he come back in? And that's the thing. I was wondering if there was video of him coming back.
There's no video of him, but he came back in. He sat down with those activists. He sat down with the folks.
Including the guy that did, do we know if
including
it's
the guy
with the Facebook
the
Live
Facebook
video.
Live video. He sat down for quite a long time and had extensive conversations and dialogue with them. And he had dialogue with anybody, and he will have dialogue with anybody.
Well, that makes you wonder why he left in the first place then.
Well,
because if he's so willing to engage in that sort of dialogue,
right,
and really, handle the rough moments of any sort of political life.
Well, I think what happened, if you watch that video, because I watched the video, I wasn't in the room, somebody was getting super heated, and I think it was Gator. Bradley was getting super heated with somebody. There were a lot of words being exchanged.
Right.
It was ugly. It was very ugly, and I don't know why somebody advised him to leave at that point. He left. I guess the situation got calmed down,
mm-hmm,
and then he came back in, and then they continued the conversation.
Okay.
That's what I understand happened.
Eric?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, that seems reasonable. If you kind of take a step back, let the temperature kind of cool out and reengage, I think sometimes folks need to go out and take a breath.
Sure, I think it's hard to convince anyone here, and I'm not even rooting for anyone in this particular fight, but if he said, "Hey, everyone, calm down. Let's hear what they have to say," I think everyone in the room would have calmed down and listened to what he had to say.
It's a moment of leadership, perhaps, that you're saying that he could have stood up to find himself as somebody who wants to lead the state of Illinois. If you're in the middle of a heat, in the middle of a heated situation, it is what it is. But I also think it's interesting that in the last half hour we were talking about, whether it was Ann Coulter or Jeannie Ives or the VP of Fox News saying all these things, whether it's gay or darker, or that's what transgender people look like because they show up at my door. And here's a conversation that, comes across as JB seeming as though he's scheming or working with Blagojevich. And what it does is it makes it sound as though Democrats are hypocrites, right? So they, we hear all these conversations about what?
Eric's jealous.
Everyone's a hypocrite.
I was going to say Democrats can't be hypocrites.
No, but I'm saying that's it's a weapon to say, look, just like President Trump saying he wants to have a military parade, right? So now a video is going around showing Schumer wanting to have a parade in 2014, and everyone's like, oh, look, he called for a military parade, and no one said anything. The difference being that Schumer was calling for a parade to honor war veterans, to honor the military. There's a difference between a parade for the military and a military parade. But instead, it's like, oh, look, Democrats are, they when they did it, it's such a weird sort of back and forth. It's a weird what about thing.
Well, and let me just say this, because I listened to the audio.
Mm-hmm. Is there more that we haven't heard?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Nobody, we,
Nobody on our side has an idea. Maybe somebody in this building in the Tribune Tower has an idea because somebody's got tapes that they're letting out at discreet right. moments to hurt the campaign. That having been said, and they're illegally, they're tapes that were sealed by the judge and were never supposed to be heard, nor are the other tapes that are out there. In any event.
Are they available as part of the FOIA or no?
No.
These are not supposed to be FOIA.
No, they're sealed.
They're sealed, yeah.
But let me just say this. I listened to the tape. It was very painful to hear. I've talked to other friends who had conversations with Rod. And, you know, there's a theme that emerges that Rod had this amazing ability to get people to talk down at his level. And that's not an excuse. I'm not excusing what JB said. What he said was wrong. It was offensive. He is incredibly embarrassed by what was on that tape. It's because it's not a reflection.
Which was the intention, obviously.
Well, of course.
To embarrass him.
But it's not a reflection of who he is. It's not a reflection of the commitment that he's had for his entire adult life. So when you pride yourself on being X way, and all of a sudden people start thinking you're the opposite, literally the opposite. I mean, I've known the guy for 25 years. I've had hundreds, probably thousands of conversations with him, and I have never picked up even the slightest thing in private in any way, shape, or form like that. So it was just, it was ugly. And what he was doing was having a political conversation with Rod, and he was engaging in shorthand. And by the way, he was right about Jesse Jr. He would have been a nightmare.
Jesse's jail time probably.
Yeah,
points
and you know, Emil Jones. Frankly, if you work with Emil, a lot of words have been used. Crass was, you know, it's not a nice word, but it's not not the worst thing I've heard about him in Springfield.
A friend of mine was telling me that you know, it's kind of like, you know, who you want to have in a position that is so public and so high profile, being President Obama's former seat. He goes, you know, if you have a guy, you're going to tend to not want to. Let's say it's another neighborhood. Let's say it's Maywood, or let's say it's an ethnically diverse neighborhood in a different way, like an Italian neighborhood or a Polish neighborhood. You don't want to go for somebody who maybe sounds a way that it's going to rub people the wrong way. Maybe that's what JB was trying to say.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Just trying to say, I want.
I guess
you should put somebody up who can get reelected. And Emil Jones is not going to fly, you know, in Southern Illinois.
We did put somebody up who could get elected.
Uh oh.
Roland Burris?
What? No, Kirk won.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Well, there you go.
Right. I mean, it was
for
a political conversation about...
No, it was a full term.
And then he said, was
twice.
He the one that said bros before hoes?
He didn't.
More after this on 720 WGN. Friday nights we reserve for talking about all things in the news, in particular politics, and coconut cake. By the way, Eric, where is this wonderful coconut cake from?
We used to have booze.
We used to do whiskey and a cookie on Friday nights.
Oyster bar.
Oyster bar. So how was the rest of the food? Because this cake is amazing.
Fantastic.
Did you have oysters?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
East Coast and West Coast.
Okay, see, I never remember what
I like.
It
sounded like a New Orleans accent, though, when you said it.
Well, it's supposed to be a Boston theme, so it's because it's B-A-H.
Yes.
Bah.
Yes.
Bah.
Bah. I just watched Spotlight again. That's such a great movie.
That's a very good movie.
Michael Keaton does it. You believe he's from Boston. I shouldn't try to do the accent.
You got to watch Spotlight and All the President's Men and
then
Post.
The Post. Yes. It's almost like the Post right before All the President's Men actually works really well.
It does.
Because they dovetail into each other.
Yeah.
We're talking about all things politics. Anything else you want to talk about? If you want to go in a different direction, we're open to that too. Joe, what are you doing tonight, Joe?
Hey, Keel, I'm packing my car.
You're packing your car over there? All right.
There you go. Over there, yeah. Hey, listen, you know I have no axe to grind because, you know, I'm a Republican. But in the gubernatorial race for Democratic governor, I think as soon as JB, you know, earned the nickname Plumber's Helper, and you know what I mean there, right?
No.
I actually don't know.
No.
You don't?
No.
He has a mansion on the North Shore.
Ah, right.
Bought the mansion next door, disconnected all the toilets, thereby qualifying for a 300-and-some-odd-thousand tax thanks to Berrios. Okay?
Yeah, that's not really what happened, but that's...
Oh, really?
Go ahead, Dave.
Explain to me, then.
Dave, go ahead.
First of all, it's not in the North Shore. It's in the city.
Big deal. Okay.
Second of all.
Well, I mean, if you're going to get one fact wrong, that kind of pulls it all apart. Go ahead.
Right. Second of all, what he was doing
that's a minutia.
He was in the process of renovating the mansion next door that he bought.
Yep.
In the process of renovating, you do a lot of things like disconnecting the plumbing. And when he did that, they applied for... they appeal the property taxes, which thousands of people do every year.
Isn't that convenient?
How is it convenient?
Do you not want to appeal your property taxes?
Why isn't
that convenient? They, you know, simultaneously applied for the property tax when he simultaneously disconnected the toilets. He wasn't going to put them back in?
No, I didn't say that, and he never said that. No, he was in the middle of a renovation. And
so here, Joe, let's...
you might not care about the
watching a lot of Laura Ingraham, so if you don't want to have a conversation where we go back and forth for a second, the reason I say that when you say North Shore and he says Gold Coast, you're like, same thing. Exactly, you're doing it again. You know, if you want to host your own Laura Ingraham show, you're welcome to. What I'm saying is, if you're going to make a generalization, you're going to go, it's one same rich neighborhood to another rich neighborhood, and Dave's trying to share the story with you. I don't know why. Again, it's so weird. Joe, you've never called and huffed and puffed at me.
Patty, that you would have sunk to this degree of minutia and nitpicking.
Eric, can you back me up on this?
Facts count. Details matter.
Yeah, and Eric's a Republican.
Adios.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Pumpkin got mad. He got salty.
No cupcake, pumpkin, nothing over there.
This is what happens when I get into it with right-wingers. I always bring facts. You don't want facts, you don't argue with me, because I'm going to bring the facts. And there are facts here.
Even if you make them up.
I'm
trying to figure out how, if you're going to start with the story. I mean, like, because he decided to paint the whole picture. Right?
Yeah.
So, because here's why. When you say the North Shore, now we're like, all the rich white people live, right? And not that the Gold Coast isn't the same thing.
Right.
But you're telling the story. You're painting the picture. So when someone corrects you and they want to be huffy and pissy about it, I don't know what to tell you about that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm happy to explain. I know facts. That's what I do.
So we've been talking about the Democratic gubernatorial race for a while. And
yeah.
JB.
I want to go back to Ives
real quick, and I just want to make sure we let listeners, you know, remind listeners that a number of folks who legislators who actually endorsed
can I say something?
Her,
I'm stuck on Joe for a second. Can I say something about Governor Rauner
this
and
is
the
your
North
show?
I know. Can I just say something? Because I'm like, I know.
No,
it'll bother me later.
Go ahead. So
when you mentioned that he appealed his taxes because that's what you get to do. When Governor Rauner was, his kids were getting ready to go to high school, and they were all living on the North Shore. Really were
literally
living on the North Shore. But they wanted their kid to go to one of the best schools, not just in the state but also in the country. They wanted their kid to go to Walter Payton. So they bought a condo in a district so that their kid could go there rather than sending their kid to already some nice schools or paying for private schools.
Yeah.
So they played the system. So everyone who can does. I don't have to tell you. Somehow that's okay. But, you know,
well, in the funny
painting the wrong picture. I'm sorry. Let me let Eric go back to Eric's GDI.
No, but I mean, and he got hit for it.
His kid went to Walter Payton. Taking away a spot from somebody else in the city of Chicago. He didn't get hit for it.
Well, he got hit for it in the campaign.
In the campaign, he did.
He won.
Absolutely.
Well,
so, he got hit
yes.
for it.
Anyway.
So the thing I was going to say, though, is that there's a number of state legislators who came out and endorsed Jeannie, but also called on her to take this ad down.
There were three of them.
Was it only three? I thought it was more.
It was McSweeney and...
did they
Green.
Endorse her before the ad or after the ad?
Yeah, they had endorsed her before the ad.
Yeah, they endorsed before the ad, and then after the ad, they said, hey, you should take that down.
Well, because they're running for office, too.
And the people, both the people we're talking about, they're far right-wing folk in the Republican Party who are like, hey, Jeannie, we love you, but yeah, that ad's too much.
Right. And I guess my point with that is some folks are trying to paint this broad stroke that if you're a Republican or if you're a conservative, this is who you are. And I just want to, that is not the case. Not the case at all.
That what Jeannie Ives is putting out there is correct. Not the Republican Party.
Correct.
But it's the
and
loudest
we'll
part.
Out.
But it's a it's becoming the loudest part. It's, you know, it is, and Democrats fall into the same trap too of, you know, sort of putting out the sort of, by the way, I don't even know what the Democrats are putting out anymore. I'm not seeing much in the way of leadership. When we had the shutdown, like, I don't even know what happened to DACA this week.
But speaking of that, I will say, you know, I've obviously not been a fan of Leader Pelosi, but I thought she did something that she needed to do, I think, to prove to her members that she can still lead.
Eight hours in heels.
I couldn't do 8 minutes in heels.
How do you rev for something
hours,
like that?
8 hours talking nonstop in heels about DACA.
Let's take a quick break
we're
here.
In trouble.
Reading letters from people who are dealing with the agony of being denied.
Right.
Yeah.
More after this. More minutia when we come back on 720 WGN. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to have a sound off. So Pumpkin can call back if he wants to sound off and just say whatever he wants without interruption. You have Eric Elk in studio. He is the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications. And Todd Belcour, the executive director of Social Change. And joining us on the phone is one of our favorite listeners, Tracy. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Patty. How are you? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much. What do you want to say?
I didn't call him Huff and Puff, that's for sure.
Thank you for that.
Well, okay, as far as the Democratic side, I feel that the Pritzker, I've seen the Pritzker ads, and to me it's more like, I don't know how everybody else may feel, but it feels like there are a lot of Democrats, Durbin, Duckworth, and so forth, are backing more Pritzker than the other candidates.
I think that's a fair assessment. It seems like they're going in that direction.
That's right. So far.
On the other side, is that Bliss going up against Rahner?
No, Bliss is on the Democrat side as well. So it's
is a Democrat.
Yeah.
I think they're going to give Rahner a run for his money, I think, this time. I really do.
Well, but here's the thing, Tracy. I don't think that Rahner wins the Republican primary.
Sounds like you both agree.
I think that Jeannie Ives wins it, and it's, so it's going to be Jeannie Ives against whoever wins the Democrat primary. And here, Tracy, so you've heard our show for quite a while and heard Dave Lundy and I having conversations. Should Dave Lundy and I wage a bet in regards to the primary? Do you have any ideas on what we should do if the other one loses? If I lose, what do you think I should have to do?
You have a lot of power here.
Whatever it is, you'll
use it wisely.
We'll take it under consideration. I say Jeannie Ives is going to win. Dave says she's not going to win the primary.
I truly think, I don't know. She's a surprise. She may win. That's a surprise.
All right. So do you have any ideas?
That's just my instinct. Well, how about...
Maybe Dave has to eat like chocolate-covered crickets.
Yeah.
How about the things that you like to eat that he doesn't like to eat?
Oh, I have to figure that out. Maybe I have to try some chocolate covered crickets first and see if he likes it. Oh wow, the phone lines are lighting up now.
People are like, we can get Lundy to have to do something. That's my mom calling.
She's surprising. Jeannie Ives here. She's surprising. She may win. That's because I've seen her ad.
Oh, Eric, I'm so sorry. Do you want to go in this? You want to go in this wager?
The numbers don't point that direction.
Is that guy in the basement with his keyboard
and
sweatpants?
Yeah, but it's early, Eric. We got 40 some odd days,
right? I mean, and Biss has got a lot of time to.
I know.
All right, so Patty, yes.
But Patty, you know, I do agree with one thing. I think as in regards to the DACA situation, I think there's no leadership on the Democratic side. I really do, because you hate that the DACA kids, they've just agreed to prevent a government shutdown. But the DACA people, the DACA kids, are seeing like they're in the middle of a whole big argument that should have been solved months ago.
Years ago, decades ago. I mean, this has been going
decades
on for quite
ago,
some time.
Months yep. ago. It's been going yep. on for... God knows how long. It should have been settled.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, Tracy, it's always good to hear from you.
good to hear from you. You guys stay, keep warm, because I just finished shoveling snow outside, and around my house is still coming down.
I agree. It's I hope that not too much more comes, because I feel sorry for my husband. He's got to take care of all the shoveling.
There you go.
By the way, Tracy, coming up, we haven't done this in a while, but we've got our sound off segment coming up at 1:15. So if there's anything you want to talk about uninterrupted at 1:15, we encourage you to call then too. If you're whenever you're feeling like you've got to, you know, go on a rant about, you'll have 20 seconds to do that. Sound good?
Sure, Patty. You got it.
All right. Have a great night, Tracy. Good to hear from you.
You too. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you. And so I do think we need to have a wager here. Yes, Eric?
No, on the DACA issue, though, did you see that President George W. Bush, what he said this week?
No. What did he say?
He said the U.S. needs to welcome immigrants and thank them, and that we ought to say thank you and welcome them.
Well, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Well, remember, George W. Bush was a big supporter of a comprehensive immigration reform.
Yeah, he was.
And Ronald Reagan, in a debate back in 1979, 1980, was talking about how we do need to figure out a way for people to have a path to citizenship. So,
yeah, yes. Xenophobia wasn't nearly... That was like the real beautiful moment where they could have done something that we would have to even have this conversation right now.
I don't know. It's well, and there are folks that own agricultural businesses who are saying that they're going to be suffering because a lot of their workers are afraid to come to work because they're afraid that they'll be picked up by ICE. They're also going to have a shortage of labor.
Well, substantiated fears too.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, John Kelly, White House Chief of Staff, this week said that the Dreamers who had not signed up for DACA were just needed to get their lazy asses off the couch and go do so. Of course, a lot of people didn't sign up because of fear that if you give the government your name and address and phone number, they're going to find you first when it comes time to rounding people up. And, of course, that's a really good fear.
Right, because we're in this sort of limbo since it keeps changing.
Right.
How do you declare yourself if that later will be something that, you know, makes you vulnerable to being picked up?
For the same reason that Republicans and other gun owners have for years saying you could never have a government registry of handguns because then you'll just give the government the way to come find you.
That's right.
Why is that also not true for Dreamers?
Human beings?
Registration leads to confiscation. That's the phrase.
There you go.
Do you want to say, Eric, I didn't want to cut you off. But in a few minutes, we're going to do our sound off. We've got Nick and Joe on hold. Sound off is a moment where you get 20 seconds. Is it 20 seconds? Should we do 20? Is that too long? 15? 10? What do you think, Curtis? Curtis, what do you think? Curtis, you have to pick the number. You got to pick the number here.
20 is fine. We've 20? Got time. Yeah.
We got time. Give him 20 seconds. Just, you know... And don't feel like you have to hit the 20 seconds.
But if somebody wants to sound off and give, you know, what we should bet, I still...
312-981-7200. Yes. Yeah. What should Dave Lundy and I wager in our disagreement over whether or not Jeannie Ives will win the Republican primary? I say she's going to win.
By the way, you know who agrees with you on this question?
Roebling.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. He loved her ad.
He loved it.
It's like he's a paramour with the ad. We also haven't had a chance to talk about Hope Hicks and Rob Carter. Is it Rob Carter?
Rob Porter. Porter.
It's easy to forget abusive men's names. You try to, you know, unless you're filling out the restraining order. That's the only way to really make sure you lock it in. So I don't understand what happened. So it came up in his security clearance paperwork. John Kelly would have known about it and played it off as though it's okay that he had a police report for beating two women, his ex-wives.
Well, maybe that's because... The president probably wouldn't be able to pass a FBI background check and get a security clearance.
Oh, hell no.
Wait a minute. You don't need to get a background security check for running for office?
No.
What?
No.
Oh, that seems like something we should be doing.
Well, Donald Trump could never have survived all the things that a cabinet-level official...
Why does that sound
official,
surprising to you?
I mean, I know it's not in our Constitution.
Then you have the national-level scrutiny that's supposed to be different than people in the room making a decision to eligibility.
All of the standards you have to go through to be a cabinet-level official or even sub-cabinet-level official, Donald Trump could not have passed any of that. because it's conflict of interest. It's disgorging all of your investments.
I mean, even ambassadors, you know, I mean, they're going to be forced to divest different interests, business interests, and things like that.
The only job that Donald Trump could do that would give him access to top secret security clearance is president.
Interesting.
Well, so not only Rob Porter, though, but then today, the speechwriter
There's resigned. Another one?
Yes.
The speechwriter for Trump?
Correct.
Oh. Yes, because he same issue.
No.
Domestic abuse. Yes. Actually, worse. Apparently, he engaged in some really horrific behavior.
What was the name again, Roger?
David Sorensen.
David Sorensen.
Now, I was not in the room. I'm just reading the reports, but... based on that, yeah, it sounds like it was very similar.
So a speechwriter would have also gone through a security clearance background check.
Yeah, well, if you're in the White House
and you have to take an oath,
okay,
but it's what the president said today about Porter that really has
He's such a nice guy. Like, you know what? In a domestic violence situation, there are good people on both sides. Wait a minute, no, there's not. More for this on 720 WGN.
It's time to sound off.
I've got something to say.
I have something to say.
I got something to say.
Have a question about politics? Call in right now to get your question answered by our political roundtable. 312-981-7200 here on WGN.
That's right. You've got 20 seconds to say whatever you want. Joe hung up. This was Joe's chance that we wouldn't have to huff and puff at each other at all. Joe could just tell us what he thought. This is your chance to tell us whatever you're thinking, whatever's on your mind. You want to sound off. I got something to say. It's about anything. About us, about politics, about your neighbor, about the city of Chicago. Todd, you have something to sound off about, Todd?
No, I don't, but I'm sure people have some issues with the snow that they'd like to broadcast.
You can talk about the snow. You can talk about the Bulls, whatever you want to talk about. And when we get a chance, hopefully Curtis will be able to print up some of the text, too, and Dave Lundy will read, Dave, or whoever in the studio can read some of the angry texts that I haven't seen yet tonight.
I love angry texts. I miss angry texts.
All right, we'll get some angry texts for you if you get a chance.
Give out your cell phone number. I'm sure. Rack it up real quick.
That's hysterical. Yes, well done, Todd. So, I have to set my stopwatch before we pull up our first listener who's going to do our sound-off segment. And I got to find, let's see, what kind of a sound should I do for when they're
hold on. A big ding dong.
No, that's not it.
A big ding dong.
No, that's not it. How about this? Nope, that's not it. When they're done, how do I finish it off? I want to see. Let's see. That's good. I think that's the best I can do right now. All right, now I need a stopwatch. I'm sorry, I didn't have all my materials together. Nick, hold on there. We'll get this all together. Oh, I could just count. Does someone just want to count to 20? You got your stopwatch? I knew that in front of me. Okay, here we go. All right. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let you talk for 20 seconds. Ready, set, go, Nick.
Good morning, Patty. March 20th is the primary election in the state of Illinois. Get your due diligence done, and now is the time for term limits. Its time has come.
Yeah, 5 seconds. You're right. I'm not supposed to agree or disagree with anybody. All right, Nick, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Tracy, you got 20 seconds.
Well, Patty, the way I feel about this whole Pigs for a Porter situation, there is no excuse for abuse. No matter how many ex-girlfriends you have, no matter how many wives you have, there's no excuse for it. Be a man, walk away from it, don't look back.
Very well said, Tracy. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We have another caller. We have look at the phone lines. People got stuff to say. Go, Sandy. You got 20 seconds.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to put in a word that our government should give U.S.-based factories zero-interest loans and grants to build U.S.-owned corporations in America because having foreign companies come in...
Tracy was filling the time. Well done, Tracy. We have another caller joining us. Let's see if we can get this next one in. We got Terry. Ready, set, and go. Terry?
Hey, how you doing? I want to know, what's with the Paul Walker? He keeps cultivating this, you know, this Eddie Munster look whenever I see him on TV. And what's with that?
I accidentally launched two sounders at the same time. What is the? Thank you so much. Well done, Terry. You filled your 20 seconds. So that's our sound off second, a sound off segment. We haven't done this in a while. 312-981-7200. You've got 20 seconds to say anything you want, and we won't judge you. At least not negatively. I might say well done. I'm going to try to say good job to everybody. It's, you know, this is one of those moments where everyone wins a prize. Everyone does a good job. 312-981-7200. I don't know what's going on with Paul Walker. I haven't seen his hairdo lately.
I believe he meant Paul Ryan.
Oh, Paul Ryan?
Didn't Paul Walker
So he's combining Governor Walker with Paul Ryan.
Yes, right. Yeah, it's right? Wisconsin. It's all Wisconsin.
There you go. By the way, did you see that Foxconn's going to build a headquarters in Milwaukee? They've added another potentially 600 jobs in Milwaukee for an administrative building.
They'll probably have to get people from Illinois to go up there and do that, though.
I wonder where they would draw some of their employee workforce. Probably Lake County.
Uh-huh. Well, hopefully they'll pay some attention to some environmental concerns, too.
I don't know if that's baked into the plan.
Pretty sure the agreement they signed with the state of Wisconsin allows them to kill anybody they want.
No, come on now.
As long as they don't exceed 5 residents per week.
Oh, my goodness.
No, seriously. The agreement that Foxconn got from Wisconsin allows them to basically do anything. So I'm sure there are environmental variances within that anything.
Speaking of Wisconsin, can I urge everyone to go to the capital of Illinois and appreciate how beautiful our state capital is? Because having seen, I've been to several, and Columbus, Ohio's got a decent one. Indiana's is okay. I've been to Madison, and it is nowhere near the wonderful. I don't know if it's the energy, the sort of long lasting sort of feel of Abraham Lincoln. There's definitely that's also part of it. You just feel this incredible history there. Yes.
It's the history, and it's the people there.
I have to say, having watched...
It's quite a cast of characters.
Yes.
But the building itself is magnificent.
It is.
Yes.
For Madison's Capitol, is that the original building, or did they have a second building made after the fact?
It had a feel of the original building. I don't know. No, because we have two. We've had four in
Illinois. So that's what I'm thinking. So
I don't know if it's that old. I will also say, this is interesting, they just created their very first Black Latino caucus last week.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Because the individual caucuses were so small, they had to combine them.
They did not have a black or Latino caucus. So they,
wow.
Yes, I thought that was an interesting moment. I was like, wow, all right, getting some representation in Wisconsin. I tried asking a few folks. I was like, so how many legislators do you have that are of diverse backgrounds? And they're like, oh, I don't know.
Wow.
Not that we know here necessarily off the top of our heads either. But I would think that. It seems a little bit daylight and a dollar short. What about Missouri? Have you been to their capital?
Yeah, plenty.
And how do you like their compared to Springfield?
It's more of a maze. It's like
yes. Yeah. So is Madison.
Yeah.
It was very strange to go in that building.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but at the same time, it's very hard to find people. There's no real rhyme or reason to it.
I mean, there are parts of the Illinois Capitol that have no rhyme or reason. When you find out like where the bank of offices are. Or the separate building for the representatives.
Oh, man.
The tunnels are weird.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The tunnels are great.
Yeah. But I do.
When it's cold or raining, tunnels are awesome.
Tunnels are fantastic.
Or a tornado.
But it is manageable.
But here's the thing about the Capitol. The reason it's gorgeous is because we've invested an enormous amount of money. Remember, there was that hugely expensive renovation and those $700 or $7,000 or $70,000 doors on the Capitol.
They're not $700. No,
you're right. Yeah. They're hugely expensive doors.
That was just for the hinges, probably $700.
Yeah, no, it was ridiculous. But, and the government took a lot of heat, but at the same time, the renovation that was done in that building is just magnificent.
Yeah,
it's going to last for 100 years.
I still want to do a field trip to Springfield, but they haven't been able to.
What, for the show?
Yeah, I want to do a pretty late field trip to Springfield.
Oh, we're there.
Wouldn't that be great? Get a bus or maybe take Amtrak together, go down to Springfield, show you around.
It'd be nice to have your own car and train.
I was going to say we need security.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Well, fair enough. That's a good point. But,
although we could drink.
But I still have a collection of emails from folks who are like, let me know, I'm in on the field trip. So just to the folks that are in charge of perhaps the station, just another reminder that we'd like to do a field trip to Springfield.
Yeah, generate a lot of buzz.
When is the state of the budget address? Is that coming up soon?
It's Valentine's Day. Right?
Oh, it's on Wednesday?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Are you guys all going to be there for the state of the budget? No, not Dave, not Eric.
I'll be
Todd
there.
Will be there. How was the state of the state address? What was your sentiment on that? Eric, did you, I know it was last week, right? It was not this week.
Yeah,
last week. I don't even think we have got a chance to get to it.
I thought the state of the state was remarkable.
In its lack of what?
He dropped far fewer G's this year than in years past.
He's adding his G's?
He added some G's back. And actually, he just didn't write as many words into his speech that had ING.
Oh, so he avoided the words.
That was remarkable. Oh, yeah, and the unbelievable call for bipartisanship, I think 2 days after he called Michael Madigan a crook.
You know, I got a text from Representative Kifowit, who was drawing my attention to a piece in Capital Facts and Governor Rauner saying that he thinks that they handled the Legionnaires' disease that was in Quincy, Illinois' veteran home. He thinks that he's proud of the way they handled it. Is that really kind of the way you want to state that, that they wouldn't do anything differently? You wouldn't get ahead of saving the lives?
It's amazing. Every chance he has had to clean that up, he's doubled down. And he doubled down and he said, hi, Stephanie. Every chance he had, he said that we handled it perfectly, exactly the way we should have, despite the fact that he was chided by the CDC for not having told the families for 5 or 6, 7 days.
Right.
As people were getting the Legionnaires' disease and dying. It was kind of amazing.
I agree.
It's like, dude. You're given a chance to clean up. It's like when he made the I'm not in charge remark.
Oh.
He made the I'm not in charge remark, and then the press was like, are you sure you want to say that, Governor? and then he said, absolutely. I wish I was in charge. I'm not in charge. Mike Madigan's in charge. And then they came back the next day. He had a presser the next day. And the next day the press said, Governor, you've taken a lot of heat for the comment you made yesterday about saying you're not in charge. Are you is there anything you'd like to say to clarify your comments? And he said, look, I wish I wasn't in charge. I wish I was in charge, but I'm not in charge. I meant what I said.
Eric. Yeah.
Just to
clean
be clear,
up on aisle 10.
He did clarify his comments on the Quincy VA home.
Okay.
He did. It was in the same CapFax post where he basically went on to say how they've done everything the experts had recommended. We've gone beyond what the experts recommended. He said he regrets. What did he say? I mean, there's an update to that post.
There was.
So just. So we're clear. I mean, he walked it back significantly.
Well, but that's not really walking it back.
And if we want to talk about dropping G's, look at Biss's new ad. When he says teaching, he actually says teach-in.
Yes. So one G down for Daniel, 8,000 more G's to drop to go.
I got to drop this. More for this on 720 WGN. Hold on. Here, I'm sorry. Dave, do you want to go ahead and tell the listeners what you just said?
Patty was very upset that we didn't get to the emotional support hamster story.
Roger, do you have that in your news, the emotional support hamster story?
No, I had the emotional support turkey, pheasant.
Peacock, that was a peacock.
Whatever
peacock.
That thing with the bright feathers was, yeah. I didn't have the hamster.
The hamster,
I know that the hamsters with the car won some. The car won some award. That car that the hamsters drive.
A 21-year-old Florida woman said she was forced to flush her emotional support hamster down the toilet after Spirit Airlines staff banned it from traveling with her on a flight.
I'm sure Spirit would have been fine if the hamster had paid the $35 hamster fee.
I'm just saying. So, just in case,
I'm surprised I didn't have that in.
That doesn't sound like a policy though. Wow. Sounds like they just made their own decision unilaterally.
Who tells someone to flush your hamster?
Here's the deal, though. If they had bought the hamster a seat, no problem.
Right.
No.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said they need to pay the $35 hamster
people
fee.
Have animals
They've got
all
to.
Kinds on
hey, I would not sit next to a damn hamster on a plane. I'm sorry.
Now, when the nine
you gotta draw the line somewhere.
Are you a hamsterist? You have a problem with hamsters?
I'm an anti-hamsterist.
Oh, my
Uh-oh.
God.
Don't make me ask you all what your quirky emotional support animal would be. We got some weird ones a couple weeks ago when that peacock story broke.
That's a really good question.
What would be your emotional support? Mine was a platypus would be mine. Time now for your news. After the news, we're playing What's That From? Here with Everything You Need to Know is Roger Batten. It has been a wonderful evening hanging out with everybody. And some of you have joined the conversation. You can continue to do that. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us at 312-981-7200. You can also tweet at me at Patty Vasquez, C-H-I. And that's P-A-T-T-I, Vasquez, C-H-I. And I want to thank our listeners who have been tweeting at me. Thank you so much for the kind words, you guys, including, I think, a friend of, is it yours, Dave, who said that they should play, this is what they should be playing in bars instead of loud music?
Yeah, actually, a friend of Eric and I.
That's good. Thank you very much for that comment. What's his name?
Ashvin.
It'd be great for business.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
people may want to drink more.
Yeah, what are they talking about?
Really? I mean, some friendly banter.
I want to thank Blanken, I don't know how to pronounce this, Blanken Itzen. I'm so sorry. But they also liked one of our tweets. Jason Bramblett, who welcomed me back. I was off on Tuesday and Wednesday, was actually up in Wisconsin visiting my niece in Madison. And one of our listeners thinks that we weren't being very kind to Wisconsin. Dave, what do they have to say in our angry tweets section?
Well, can I say the P word?
Yes, okay. I did it already.
Well, you all...
Not the S word, though. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, well, you all... Piss on Wisconsin. Which state is in better fiscal condition? Your state is in the S blank blank T hole.
All right. First of all, I love Wisconsin. And I just happen to think that their capital is not as majestic as ours is.
Yeah, I didn't think you were pissing on Wisconsin at all.
No. So, and they do have a surplus. It is embarrassing. I listened to Governor Walker's State of the State address, which was, I believe, a couple weeks ago. It seems like they got a lot going on. They're trying to figure out a way to help a lot of kids in rural areas make sure they get to school. You know, they have there are places where kids have to travel 100 miles to get to school, and they're having trouble making sure that they have proper transportation.
100 miles.
And by the way, there's a county in Wisconsin that has the highest rate of farm foreclosures in the country. So there's some things that Governor Walker's trying to address, and I wish the very best to those people who are, trying to find their way forward in Wisconsin.
Yes, well, there are a lot of the services that are not being provided because the Republicans cut them all.
Let's not pee on Wisconsin.
That one I am going to pee on Wisconsin, right. Sorry. By the way, you know what we didn't talk about tonight?
What did we talk about tonight?
We did not talk about the expose, the ProPublica Sun-Times expose on the Illinois Policy Institute's grand poobah John Tillman, and how, in fact, all of these entities he's setting up are all for personal enrichment.
Now, these nonprofits, how does one set up a nonprofit and reap the benefits of that? Can I set up a nonprofit and tell people to give me money? Just asking.
I think you've got to get cleared with the IRS.
All right.
Yeah. You've got to do all the proper
paperwork. Cross your T's.
You know, not engage in political activities, right?
Well, but that seems to be something he's doing.
Ooh.
Oops.
Really? Man. John Tillman does political stuff.
Now, what is John Tillman's role in the state of Illinois? What's impact does he have on politics?
Well, what's really been interesting is that John Tillman is the head of the Illinois Policy Institute. He's also one of the partners in the Illinois Opportunity Project, along with Dan Proft. He also, the story made clear, he's got 8 or 9 different entities, all of which pay him. There's money flowing this way and that way, and it's an interesting setup that he has. It led to Governor Rauner, who has been a financial supporter of the Illinois Policy Institute to the tune of, what was it, $1.6 million or something?
Didn't he say something like, I'd never give him another nickel?
Yeah, Rauner said, no, I'm never going to give him another nickel. And Tillman shot back and said, well, that's because you're the worst governor. And it was like, Mom and Dad, you're fighting. But this is good.
at one point, many years ago, they may have served a decent purpose in terms of being a center-right type of policy. I don't want to say think tank, but...
Yeah, so you can't even say think tank.
But hold on. They weren't engaging in political activity. And they weren't then.
Pre-Tillman or...?
Pre-Tillman or right when he came in.
Yeah.
And it was as if he really wanted to – he saw the way forward for him and to get pushed more in front. And it was all about him was to be engaged in the political side.
Yeah. He was at the City Club sitting at the next table.
Ooh.
Next to you?
Yeah. Well, not right next to me.
Did he do a gaggle?
He did not do a gaggle.
Kerfuffle.
Dan Prof did a gaggle.
Oh, it's a gaggle is when the press comes over?
When the press
kind of a media scrum. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah, so. Also, Todd, I know that you had some topics you wanted to address tonight as well. I did not, you know, it's interesting when February starts because you sort of you're coming out of the cloud of January, you know, after recovering from the holidays, maybe giving up on your New Year's resolution. Valentine's Day is around the corner. I have friends of, do you know Dwayne Kennedy? You know comedian Dwayne Kennedy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dwayne.
He made me swear on air because he said something so funny.
He's incredibly funny.
Cuss.
And he, years ago, was talking about how February is, of course, given to Black History Month because it's the shortest month of the year. And it's one of those things where it's a conversation that we continue to have and should be having. I know that when I started going to Springfield, there was legislation being discussed about whether or not Black history should be taught in schools. And I know there are events coming up. What do you want folks to know about Black History Month?
Well, it's worth mentioning that there's four countries that celebrate Black History Month, but also that the United Nations has supported the idea of having a decade of celebrating people of African descent. So all that's to say is this is something that's a growing movement to really provide more recognition and celebration of the contributions of people of African descent throughout the world. But there's a lot of different things going on in Chicago, and people should take the time to at least go to one thing to support, not just through social media, but also by dollars and time, and to invest in Black community and things that celebrate Black history. There's a play going on right here in Chicago, Harold Washington Cultural Center, called King of the Policy, Running the Numbers. That's going on the weekends, all this weekend. You can catch that. Of course, there's a lot of things that are discussing some of the international crises that are happening in Africa and beyond, and how those translate to some of the issues that are going on locally through the Global Strategist Association. That's February 15th, 6 to 8 p.m. in the International House right there in the Chicago campus. And, you know, it doesn't take much. Just go to any of your social media, whether it be Twitter or Instagram, and type in the hashtag Black History Month, and you'll find some sort of programming. But it's important to surround yourself with people who are not just celebrating other cultures, but also celebrating life and community and engaging with them and trying to build some bonds.
And how can people find out more about about your organization for social change?
Yeah, for sure. We're at Shy Social Change. That's our handle, the at symbol, Shy, C-H-I, Social Change. And you can, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, you can find us there. And some of the programs that we're engaged in or sponsoring, you'll find, but more importantly, some of the legislative advocacy and other things we're doing to combat the new Jim Crow and make sure people get access to jobs and justice.
Coming up on this week's show, we learn about an upcoming
volunteer expo. We didn't mean to interrupt your conversation. Can I hear? Let me roll it down. Let me see. I got that. Let's just reset that one. That's okay. I also, so make sure that people know one more time, Shy Social Change.
C-H-I, Social Change.
Now, Roger, I'm going to hand out these scripts. We weren't sure if we were going to do what's that from.
Mm-hmm.
But so was this something you and Curtis collaborated on, which scene we would be doing from this particular movie?
Yeah, kind of. It's Curtis's first time selecting a scene.
Curtis is like, why am I being thrown under the bus?
No, you're not being thrown. We collaborated. I said, well, you know, an 8-page script may not be able to squeeze in the time frame that we have in Patty's show. So okay, let's pick something a little shorter.
Okay.
Don't
tell us what the scene's from, obviously. But
right. No, we're not gonna. So I went to a place where I get scripts, and I said, oh, here's a quick one. You could just make sure you change all the names.
Okay, so you pick this scene out.
Yes. Well, I told him, I says, here's this one, and he says, oh, I got it. No
okay.
problem.
All right. So I'm going to pass out these scripts. We're going to take a break,
right,
and we'll do What's That From when we come back. So 312-981-7200 to play What's That From. Are we ready to do it? Can I hit this button, Curtis? Or are we, we're good. Let me hit this. From, we're going to read a movie scene from a classic film and probably do it no justice whatsoever. When you realize what movie that is from, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We have a gift card from Apt Electronics. Make sure you say hi to Steve Shapiro when you stop at the store in Glenview or shop online at abt.com. All right, everybody, take it away. Roger.
A young male graduate student approaches Professor Cindy. The teaching assistant taps on the door and then pushes his way in with an armload of reference books. The professor helps him find a spot for them.
I couldn't get the Donovan McNabb biography, Professor. Someone's got it checked out till next month when classes start.
That's right, Phil. Thanks a lot.
Will there be anything else?
No, I'll see you Thursday.
The teaching assistant leaves. Brady is scowling as he examines the last of the artifacts.
Hey, if you don't like them, I can always return them.
No, they're beautiful. The Field Museum will take them as usual, no questions asked.
Then what's wrong?
I brought along some people today.
What kind of people?
The government type.
The government type?
Don't worry, it's none of your business. They're from the Army.
I've already served.
Army intelligence. They're looking...
Hmm. I feel like for Abner
Doubleday?
Yeah, Abner Doubleday, sorry.
For Abner Doubleday.
Professor Cindy's course... is taught in this amphitheater-type lecture hall. His desk and lecture reference large books. Blackboards line the wall. Bones, maps, charts festoon the walls. Professor Cindy leans against his desk, talking with Brady and two uniformed Army officers, Colonel Longgrove and Major Adam Eaton, who are situated around the first seats in the classroom.
But you did study under Professor Kimball at the University of Chicago?
We haven't spoken in 10 years. I'm afraid we had a bit of a falling out.
You know nothing of his whereabouts?
Just rumors. Somewhere in Asia, last I heard.
Musgrove and Eaton exchange a look. They're disappointed.
Maybe Dr. Phil can make sense of it.
Again, the military men have a silent communication deciding what to reveal.
Well, you must understand that, Dr.
Phil?
Phil, this is strictly confidential.
I understand.
Yesterday, one of our European sections intercepted a Nazi communique from Cairo to Berlin. We don't quite know what to make of it.
Musgrove takes a sheet from his briefcase.
Here it is. TANIS development proceeding. Acquire headpiece staff of RA. General Tengku Hawk, Shanghai. Locate Abner Doubleday, U.S.
Brady is excited. He looks at Prof. Cindy.
TANIS, they must have discovered the lost ruins.
Cindy contemplates this big news. He's impressed.
TANIS, ain't that something?
Frankly, we're a little suspicious. An American being mentioned so prominently in a secret Nazi cable.
Raven's no Nazi.
Then what do they want him for?
They're looking for the headpiece to the staff of Ra.
But it says here that it's in China.
Only half of it. Raven would have had the other half.
What would the Nazis want with this? The staff of Ra?
I can tell you that. Over the last 2 years, the Nazis have had teams of archaeologists running around the world looking for all kinds of religious artifacts.
That's right. Hitler is a nut on the subject. Crazy. He's obsessed with the occult.
What is this Staff of Ra, anyway?
It all has to do with the Ark of the Covenant.
Army guy looks mystified.
The chest the Hebrews used to carry around the Ten Commandments.
Now it's the Army men who are impressed.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Good luck to you.
We have Patrick with our first caller.
Performance.
Yes, yes. Were you dazzled? Were you dazzled by our Oscar-worthy performances? All right.
My guess is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Ding, 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 ding. Congratulations, Patrick. You won a gift card from After Electronics. How long into the scene did you realize it was from Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Probably about the second line. Because at first I was thinking it might be like weird science, and then when you mentioned about the government.
All right, Patrick. Hold on the line. You've got a gift card from Apt Electronics coming your way. Curtis will get your information and send that off. I wanted to check in with Kathy because she's calling from Madison, where I just was the last couple days. Hey, Kathy, how are you doing?
Kathy?
I'm fine. Great choice of movies tonight. Thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. I mentioned I was just in Madison, and I stopped at the Tipsy Cow, which was delightful. Are you familiar?
Oh, that's fantastic.
I loved. They had goat cheese curds, which I've never had. Oh, stop it, Todd! They're delicious. I don't know what face you just made.
Goat cheese curds?
Yeah. So cheese.
That sounds good.
Cheese curds, but made out of goat cheese.
Fried?
Right? Fried, as
fried
you do.
Fried goat.
Kathy, goat so here's my secret, by the way. If you go back there, try it with the buffalo wing sauce for your dipping instead of the like a sort of ranch that they give you.
Okay, I'm on it.
All right. Have a great night, Kathy. Be well. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. You too. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye now. I had a really fun week. It was great to go up to Madison, see my niece, who I'm so proud of her. She's just got a job for the summer. She'll be teaching kids in Boston some theater and drama. Huh. And I'm thinking about going to visit her. So
well, it sounds like some people in this room could use a little coaching based on the poor reading we've had.
Yeah, really. Boy.
I wasn't hitting it out of the park either. I don't remember this scene.
I don't either.
Is it Raiders of the Lost Ark?
It's where he's in his classroom.
It's not the beginning. It's after the beginning.
Yeah. He's back in his classroom, and Brody comes in, tells him about the
government Roger,
people.
I just read the scene. I know what happened.
Why did you say you don't remember the scene?
Denham Elliott. Was it Denham Elliott, Brody?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Is this right after the girl blinks her eyes and she says, I love you?
Yes, after class is dismissed.
Funny how you remember that, but not the rest of the scene.
Yes, after class is dismissed.
Because I love Professor Jones as well. That's why.
Are you flashing your eyes watching the movie?
I'm just like, what is happening? We started watching The Last Crusade with Elliot one night. Griffin has never seen it. And I forgot how much I enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm. The Last Crusade, that was one with Sean Connery, right?
And River Phoenix playing
That was great.
Yeah. I think that they probably would have made more young indie movies had River Phoenix not passed away. Oh, no, wait. He would have been much younger, wasn't he? How old was he when he passed? Was he like 19 when he passed away, River Phoenix?
I don't remember. I think he was older than that.
He was pretty young.
He was pretty young when he died. But I really enjoyed that one. Speaking of the young indie, because I was thinking about whether or not they would go back and make young indie movies, the movie Solo trailers have come out. Have you guys seen that?
No.
For the young Han Solo movie.
Yes. Oh, really? Saw the trailer.
I thought it looks interesting.
It does.
Yes. Well, and look, the too bad Ken's not here because he loves to talk Star Wars.
Oh,
but,
man.
You know, my favorite recent Star Wars movie is Rogue One, which was not in one of the trilogies. It was the other story.
I agree.
I thought it was fantastic.
Now, Todd, I'm getting a feeling you're not a big Star Wars buff.
I'm behind.
You're behind? How many have you seen?
A few decades.
Have you seen any of them?
I've seen the original ones.
Okay. What'd you think then?
Well, I thought they were pretty wonderful, but at the same time, I haven't had a chance to catch up on the rest of them.
You're like, they're
standalone. I'm letting people take it away. I don't want to jump in without
speaking
from knowledge.
Ken Jacobowski, who's normally here on Friday nights with us, has never seen Star Wars, ever.
Any of them.
Any of them.
I agree. I think Rogue One's a good movie, and Elliot hates it.
Why? I love Elliot, but he's so wrong on this one. He thinks Jar Jar Binks is underrated.
Well, he and Roger can have that conversation.
Yeah,
Roger, did you like Rogue One?
That doesn't sound good at all.
Man.
I got a
thumbs down on that one.
I already knew the ending.
Up with something charitable.
I already knew the ending, and it ruined the entire movie.
How did you know the ending?
Well, because what happens to them. In the original Star Wars, they say what happened to these people.
Well, just that many lives were lost.
Right.
Not everything. Well, don't know how or why.
Many Bothans died to bring us this attention.
It was well shot. It was hard for me to get into the movie.
All right. Sorry. All right. Well,
Patty and I are disappointed in you.
We're very disappointed.
Well, you can join the club.
We're so disappointed we have to take a break. Been so much fun hanging out with everybody tonight. Matt Bubala is downstairs in the showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Matt Bubala!
Hello, everybody. How are you?
We're very well. How was your journey into the station tonight?
It was the... So I don't know if just didn't tell you guys this. I overslept. So I woke up. My son tried to wake me up, and I thought it was... You ever do this where you take this nap, and then it's just not...
Yeah.
You know, you have no idea. So I'm convincing him, no, I'm fine. I got plenty of time. Like, I don't know what I thought it was. So I wake up at 1:05.
Oh, and you live out way in the burbs.
I live way out in the burbs.
I called it.
No one
I told
hear him, but you.
Oh, no one. They can't hear you. I'm sorry. Yeah. I totally called it, Matt. I told the guys in the studio that you were you might have had, you know, sometimes you oversleep, and I didn't know I was right.
I did, but I made it here. I got in the station actually earlier than I normally do. I got in here at 1:50.
There you go. See, now you know. Now here's the problem now. Now you know you can sleep until 1:05.
Yeah, I won't do that again because I freaked out. And if anything would have gone wrong, if there would have been a lane closure, if there would have been anything, I never would have made it.
But. Hey, Matt, I got your back.